Lord, we want to give you all the honor.
Yes, Lord.
We want to give you all the glory and all the praises. As the songwriter has written and we have sung this evening, we want to thank you, Lord. When we think about what your word has done in our lives, Father, how it has changed us. When we were so far away from you, Lord, we weren't even seeking you, but you found us. When I think about, Lord, how that you changed my life, and my brothers and sisters in the building today would think about their lives, how that you came on the scene and not, Lord, just not just renovated, but you made them anew. When we think about all the emotional baggage and all the things that we had built inside of our lives, and many times we didn't even know how to look up from the earth, but Lord, you came by and you gave us reason to live. You give us a joy, oh, unspeakable and full of glory, that this half can never be told. We can't even describe it or even explain it, Lord. But we want to thank you for what you've done. Lord, how you've healed us. You've healed our souls. You've healed our spirit, Lord. You healed our bodies. Some of us, oh God, have had sicknesses, and the doctors have told us that there is no answer. But then you came on the scene. Oh, Lily of the Valley, you came in the scene and you begin to move in our hearts as we followed you, Lord, along, and you begin to heal our bodies, that we would be able to stand here today and hear of the testimonies how that you've healed. We want to thank you, Lord, for your grace. Many would not understand why we would want to shout or we'd want to scream out, thank you, Jesus. But there's so much, and we have so much of a right to shout and to praise you. Oh, for in your presence there is liberty. There's freedom in your presence. And God, we want to express ourselves in your presence. Because, Father, when we're in your presence, we're not out anyways out of the way or out of order. But, Father, we're always in order in your presence. Father, would you clear my mind and loose my tongue today, Lord? I pray that, Father, that if there be any evil spirit that would be amongst the people, that they would be bound in the name of Jesus Christ. And may you speak to your people, Lord. May I step aside and, Lord, I desire to allow you, oh God, to use my vocal cords, my lips, my thoughts. And would you just do the speaking to the people? Lord, you can see, Father, how these last days, many days, Lord, I've been studying and thinking and pondering and desiring that you might speak tonight, oh God. And so, Father, may, oh Lord, we be hearers of your word and accept, Lord, what you have to say, for it will come forth from the scriptures and from this message of the hour. Bless us, your people, Lord, we pray in the name of Jesus Christ. And the church said, amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Truly good to be in the house of the Lord this evening with each and every one of you. And I trust that you'll be able to relax in God's presence. We want to welcome this evening, Brother Jim Hayes. God bless you, my brother, for being in the service today. And we appreciate you. And Brother Felix Berson, God bless you. Good to have you in the house of the Lord. Brother Christian, you brought your sister today. And I trust that she'll feel very welcome in the house of God. We want to welcome home some of those that were traveling, the brother and sister Lamb. God bless you. Yes. Praise the Lord. We're glad that you're safely home, and we missed you. And so you're done on your quota of holidays. No more holidays. Amen. Praise the Lord. We just want you to sit right there and don't move. Yeah, amen. God. We so appreciate you. And the Weathers are home as well. They were away for the week, and God richly bless you. Good to have our deacon home with us. Amen. We have a couple birthdays we want to say happy birthday to. Sister Liliana Weathers.
Amen.
Amen. Sister Lily turned.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Sister Lily turned sweet 16. Amen. I think that she's legal to drive. Is that right, Brother John? So everybody watch out. Amen. I think there needs to be a sticker on the back of their car that says, new driver, watch out for roundabouts and over curbs. Amen. She needs a Jeep, Sister Karen said she wants to donate towards a Jeep. Amen. Praise the Lord. And there's somebody else that's very close to me that has a birthday tomorrow. I can't mention her name, fear of death, but she has a birthday tomorrow, so God richly bless. Amen. Our sister. Amen. Praise the Lord. Am I going to be all right? Pray for me, saints, on the way home. Will you do it? Amen. Let's turn in our Bibles. We've spent enough time with the greetings, and we want to turn in our Bibles to Malachi chapter 3 and reading just one verse, very easy and simple verse, Malachi 3 verse 6. Could you just turn that fan on for me, Brother Solomon? Amen. And then we'll let you have your seats, and then if you'll turn over to Acts chapter 2, that will be wonderful. Malachi chapter 3 verse 6. For I am the Lord. I change not. What a wonderful, satisfying scripture that the Lord can proclaim of himself. I am the Lord. I want to tell you who I am. I am the Lord, the creator of heavens and earth. I am the one that said, let there be, and there was. And I want to tell you this. I change not. Amen. May the Lord bless you, and you can have your seats. We have been thinking in our hearts, and last time we ministered on a subject called the atonement, or we broke it up just a little bit to hear the words at one ment, and we want to recognize that we are at one with God. And so if you'll turn in your Bibles now to Acts chapter 2, and we're going to read from verse 1. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. I want you to recognize here, as many have pointed out before, that they were all in one accord. They had a heart of unity. They were bound together by one thing, and that one thing was Jesus Christ. It wasn't by some man's thoughts or theology or one man's working in progress for the community. No, they were in one accord in Jesus Christ. Verse 2 says, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. I would have liked to have been there that day. I would have liked to have that house experience where the rushing mighty wind filled the house. But I want you to notice there, friends, in verse 3, it says, and there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire, and it sat upon each of them. So this was a mighty occurrence. This is what a stimulation of senses this would have been. Wind and fire and a group of emotions coming through the building. But I want to point out in verse 4, and they were filled with the Holy Ghost. Beyond all the expression of the body, beyond the feeling that would come in your spirit, I want to point out here something that's very important, that they were filled with the Holy Ghost. Now, I've been thinking, and you've been reading also, we've been looking to a message. Brother Branham was spoken, God's chosen place of worship. And also, you have been reading the book Influence, which was our monthly message, and we've enjoyed it, haven't you? It wasn't as thick as the last one, Christ, the Mystery of God Revealed, so we got the opportunity to go through it at least two times, or some of us three times, and we looked to see what God has been showing to us. But I want to point out now with our scriptures here that we are under an influence. Yeah, yeah. We're under the influence of the Holy Ghost. And Brother Branham would begin to tell us that you're influenced by something. You could be influenced by your job or your community, your family, or things around you. You could have an influence. But what we desire as the believer in Christ Jesus is to be under the influence of the Holy Ghost. That boldness of the word that springs out from the depths of our souls, that just doesn't cause us to live a momentary feeling or a momentary life, but it is a life that is changed, and we live this life of God on a continual basis. It is a God that fills our lives, and the scripture says, I am the Lord, and I change not. Now, I like to say it like this, and we can read it in the message, that everything changes. Everything around us changes. Nothing stays the same. How many knows that? I mean, we grew up from little children, and some of us are adults and some are seniors today, and you recognize that you're not what you were when you're 18 years old. You can't climb the mountains like you'd want to, or you can't hang from a ladder like you'd want to. Everything changes. We would notice that in change, we just have to look and observe travel. You know, Brother Branham was saying, one generation we have gone all the way from horse and buggy, all the way to the space age. That's right. We have advanced. As you would know, in medical science or the science of the world, that has also changed. You know, when I worked in the hospital, we often had salesmen come in to sell us medical equipment. And it was always on a rotation because the technology changed. Procedures changed. How we operate and study changes. You could never stay back there in the past. So we recognize that we've gone from the horse and buggy age all the way to a space age. And in the spiritual, we're in an astronaut age. And so you would look, and here's a little illustration for you. If you would know your history, you would find out that George Washington, he would travel from Virginia to Washington, D.C. by horseback. And it would take him 10 days of traveling at the speed of 25 miles per hour per day. That's a long ways, 10 days. But today, if you desire to travel that distance, you will find up with your car driving the speed limit, Sister Sharon. You would recognize that it would only take 3 hours and 40 minutes to get there. Not 10, it's an advancement. Yes. If you would want to travel by airplane, it would take you, GPS would say, an hour and 2 minutes. So there's an advantage now of moving from the old horse to the airplane. You see, in the airplane, it's possible to eat breakfast in New York and have done lunch in Dallas and dinner in Los Angeles and somehow find out that your luggage stopped in Mexico. See, this is advancement, they say. But I want to tell you that everything changes. There's a point to all this. Everything changes. Nothing stays the same except for God. That is our stay point. And when we talk about the fact that God never changes, then we're talking about the immutability of God, the immutability of God. Now, I want to instill faith in your heart because we're going to see in a moment that God has filled our lives. We are God's chosen place of worship. You know, it was there at the time God had chosen to meet the Israelites in a tent and then a temple. And from a temple to a temple of worship of a temple not made by hands, which was Christ Jesus. And on the day of Pentecost, as we read, that life came into you and I. And there it is, where God has chosen to worship. And I'm thankful that he does not change his way. I'm thankful that the life in the blood has always been the same. So I'm thankful now that God is not fickle like human beings. I'm thankful that you see he doesn't have feelings that are changeable in his moods. You know, I don't have very many mood swings, but we can have mood swings. One moment we're happy, and the next minute we're kind of upset when somebody cuts us off in traffic. Have you ever waited at the bank? You know, not so much many of us go to the bank anymore because we do everything online. But heaven help us if our Wi-Fi is slow. You almost have a crisis at home. You see, God is not fickle that way that his moods change. He's not grumpy to one group of people and then friendly to the next. God doesn't have good days and bad days. He doesn't treat us as a man does according to the whim of his moments. He's immutable. Brother Branham would say like this, immutability, the unchangeable, God cannot change. He has to remain the same. And if God healed one sick person, he can never change his attitude. God forgave one sinner, one prostitute. He can never change his attitude. The immutability, the unchanging of God's word. God said in one place, I am the Lord that healeth all thy diseases. He has to stay with it. For he is infinite. He knows to the end from the beginning. Aren't you glad you serve a God like this?
Amen.
Aren't you glad that he doesn't just say, well, I'll heal one and not the other, or I'll deliver one and not the other? It all depends upon your faith. He has placed a law there that anyone that has faith in his word and faith in him, in what he is doing, can receive the promises that he has for them. So it's up to you. It's up to your faith. It's up to your level, your temperature of faith. You know, I was reading there someplace, and Brother Branham has people come to through the prayer line, and we know, we've listened to the prayer lines, and he's speaking to a woman or speaking to a man, and he begins to tell them the secrets of their heart. And what is doing there, it's not by his mental telepathy, but it's Christ inside and speaking out through the lips of vocal cords. And what the Spirit of God is trying to do is bring that person up to a level of faith to believe that God can touch and fulfill his promises. If you can believe tonight, his attitude is for you, and he changes not. Now, we've learned in Sunday school, Hebrews 13:8, which says Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So if he acted one way in the Old Testament and the New Testament amongst the saints, he will operate the same today. He will operate the same today. What is your need today? He will operate the same today as he did with all the other saints of the scriptures. I like to use this phrase, God always, because God always is wise. God always is sovereign. His ways are sovereign. He's good. He's always just. He's holy. And he's always merciful. I mean, I feel like I could jump out of my skin when I hear those words. He's always merciful. Friends, this morning I needed his mercy. This afternoon, even while I studied and I read something and I couldn't fathom it and I had a little unbelief, I needed his mercy. And his mercy came forward in my life, and I believed, and it came forth, and I looked and I saw the promise of his revelation in my life. He's always holy. He's always gracious. Lord, you are so gracious to me. Brother Branham would say you can put your life upon anything that God has ever said, and it will be the truth. Anything God has ever said. Look through the scripture. God says, I cannot lie. I am not a liar. And everything I've said is the truth, and I won't change it. You know, you and I are finite. And we gain knowledge every day. Every day you glean a little knowledge. Look, a little child, as he grows, he learns from his mother. His mother will sing songs to him, and his mother will feed him, and his mother will nurture him, and he learns what love is. He learns what joy is, and he learns what not to do, and the stove is hot. He learns all. Every day there is some learning. And as they grow up, they receive teachers and mentors and tutors, pastors, and others that will teach them in a community of who a person they will become. They're finite. They're gaining knowledge every day. And Brother Branham in prayer would say, oh God, and our little finite mind sometimes cannot comprehend what you are. When I think about the Lord, and I think about how he saved me, how he raised me, I can't comprehend the great God that fills all time and space. Again, he says, but we are believing you anyhow. Amen. We're believing God's word, regardless whether we understand it or not, because of those very words in Malachi that says, I am God and I change not. He is infinite, and being infinite, it means he cannot gain knowledge because he has and always will be perfect. In this message, God keeps his word. He says, God keeps his word. Sometimes I can't keep mine, and you can't keep yours. Always, but God keeps his. I don't know what the future, what's in the future, but God, being infinite, know the end from the beginning. Then he cannot make a statement unless it's absolute truth, Brother Tim. It's got to be absolutely truth in order for him to say it. When he says, I am your Savior, it's absolute truth. When he speaks to you, I have bought you out from the pawn yard, it's absolute truth. When he says, I am the God that heals all of your diseases, it is the absolute truth. Do I understand how he's going to do it? No, I don't, but I believe it anyhow. He says we are mortal and we are finite, so therefore we can make mistakes, but God cannot make mistakes. Amen. I want to say this to you, and I don't mean to pinch you at all tonight, but I just want to say in a statement that sometimes we insult God by trying to manipulate his word.
Right.
We look at something that we don't understand, and we'll try in our finite mind to kind of twist it and mold it and fit it, kind of like pushing a puzzle piece in the wrong place. And we insult God. Now you say, Brother Steve, oh, I would never, ever want to or say or at all insult God. Yes, with our mouths. We will never say words that will incite or try to hurt God in any way. But by the way we live, by the opposite manners of what the scripture asks us to do, insults God. When the word of God speaks and places us in a position or causes us to live a certain way, in a certain direction as sons and daughters of God, in order to be kings and priests before him, and we've refused to walk in his way, you are insulting God. Let our lives, I pray, oh God, let it never scream out insults before God. The Bible tells us that if we try to manipulate God's word with our own thoughts or our own desires, we are in danger of God's wrath. We can read that in Revelation chapter 22, 18 and 19. We don't have it today for sake of time. But if you just change one word or take one word away from what God has spoken, your name can be removed from the book of life, the Lamb's book of life. So we must be very careful. I want to, in this part of the service, just for one moment, to cause us to think, am I living according to the gospel of Jesus Christ that was sent in this hour? Our part of the book, are we living it?
Yes.
We're not living back there in another age, in another glare of a time. We're not living somewhere out in, you know, in Luther's day or Wesley's day, although their message is carried forward. But we're not smoking a cigar. No, we have been justified and sanctified. We have been cleaned up. We're no longer smoking and drinking and defiling ourselves in any way, because we have cleaned our lives so that Christ himself can come and live. Operate. He has chosen your vessel. Put his name upon your vessel to dwell in you, that he might influence you in the way of his word. Now you will agree with me. We read the scripture in Acts chapter 2. And you will agree with this statement with me, because we also heard it in the message, where the prophet of God would say to us that what church... what the church was at Pentecost is the standard, the pattern. How many's heard that before? What the church was at Pentecost is this pattern. It's our pattern for today. Now, sometimes people get caught up with the wind and desire every service to feel a wind, an unction of wind. It really depends how you read that scripture. Some are looking for an emotion of so, and we believe in the motions. We believe in the gifts of God. In fact, I really believe that God's gifts should be moving in the church. But we're not focusing just on the minor. We're looking to what the major is. All right? I mean, we want to have the gifts of God move, but the major is that the Holy Ghost, verse 4, is living on the inside, God's very own life, living on the inside of us. That is the pattern that I want to bring forth to you today. In the Smyrna church age, that is what they had at the day of Pentecost. They were justified, they were sanctified. They were filled with the Holy Ghost. Why? Listen to me. The reason for being justified and sanctified is to the end that you might be baptized with the Holy Ghost. Amen. That is the reason that there is a church. It is the temple of God, filled with God, even the Holy Ghost and the same Spirit that was in Jesus while he was here on earth, causing him to do the mighty works. You see, the Spirit that was in Christ Jesus is that which caused Jesus to do the mighty works. Jesus said in the Bible, you can read it, I do nothing unless the Father first show me to do it. It wasn't Jesus walking on his own. No, it was the Father, the fullness of God living in Jesus. It was the Father speaking and communing to Jesus, a vessel that was not born in sin, that was not shaped in iniquity, didn't come into this world speaking lies. No, it was a created being, life of God. Every blood cell was God's life, and God was there dwelling in that vessel. And what whatever Jesus spoke, it was the fullness of God speaking to the people of that day. Amen. But you and I, well, what about us, Brother Steve? We read that the Holy Ghost fell. Well, that same God changed his mask. That same God amorphed there into the Holy Spirit. And you and I have received part, a portion of that infinite life. Brother Branham would explain it to us like a teaspoon of that ocean, that beautiful ocean that we have out there. You take a spoonful of that ocean, and every characteristic and every virtue and everything that's in that ocean is in one little teaspoon of water. And that every fountain of life, we've got a teaspoon in it. Some is in Sister Cynthia, and a little bit over in there, Brother Jay, and over there, Sister Esther's. And everybody's got a teaspoon of his glory. We thank God for what he's done. And so our lives are what filled with the presence of God. Amen. That's what causes us to live this word. I mean, people say they live this world and they're backsliding all the time. People are standing on the platforms and they're waving their hands and they're in some sort of unction of the Holy Spirit, sometimes enticing spirits, and they're in a place of what they call an anointing, but they can't live the word of God. Oh, There's not one of us that could live this word according to God as desired. Be perfect as my Father in heaven is perfect, unless his life lives on the inside of us. And if that same life is in us, then that life should be producing the same works, the same desires, the same love, the same gratitude, the same generosity, the same mercy that Jesus Christ had when he was upon this earth. Oh, what kind of people should we be? Well, I think we should be a happy and free people. No more guilt. No more laying in bed with anxiety pushing out in our minds because we stole something or we cheated with something or we looked at something or we did something wrong. No, we have a conscience that is clear. Why? Because the Holy Spirit is in us and moving us. And moving us. And believest thou this in 51. Why? We should be happy and free. And my all. No condemnation. Amen. Living upon sin and distress, not by your own, but by him. Amen. Praise God. Yes, there is therefore now, scripture says, no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after this flesh, but after the Spirit of God. Yes, this is what God desires for us, that we live in this freedom. Not by our own, it's by him. Not by what we are, but what he is. God, don't accept me for what I am. He accepts me for what Christ has done for me. Oh, that lets off the pressure. Whew, I was getting all bulged up with pressure and feeling and anxiety. And she blows the plug. Praise God. I can praise him and thank him because his mercy endureth forever. Amen. And just as he raised him from the dead, so shall we be raised. Hallelujah. Be raised. Oh, in him, friends. For we are his bride. Oh, now he brings it all the way back into Genesis, there where Adam, he speaks and says, you are bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. Here it is. We are his bride. Yes. How many got bride members do we have here tonight? Praise the Lord. We are his bride, flesh of his flesh, bone of his bone, and we shall be with him. And this is where I'd like to throw in here that we are at one ment with Christ. Remember now that word at one ment, and just quickly drawing it to your attention, as it was in the book of Genesis when God spoke to Noah and said, build an ark. He said, take gopher wood, and I want you to take that wood, and I want you to seal it with pitch. Now, gopher wood is not a very good building wood. It's very porous, and especially we knew it was going to rain. God said it was going to rain, and if you take that wood and soak it, put it in water, it soaks up on its own natural ability. It soaks up water, and it becomes heavy like a rock. I mean, that ark would sink to the bottom of the ocean. It wouldn't last a moment in the torrents and the swells of the judgment of God that was coming to the earth. But there we see God said, no, I want you to take that wood, that humanity that's frail, that's porous, that's full of faults, it's holy, it can't do anything on its own, it's garbage. Oh, this is where it pinches some people when we find out that by nature we were beasts. By nature we knew no God. By nature and culture, we were Gentiles lost out to God. But God, in his rich in mercy, took 86 cents of junk. And what did he do? He said, take my spirit and pour it upon them. Pour it upon you. Pour it upon from the top of your head. Hey, don't let anything out. Listen, don't let a foot out. Don't let an ear out. No, go swimming in the Holy Ghost. I mean, get immersed in that presence, that holy pitch of God, and become at one ment with God. Because if you're sealed in, friends, then you're sealed in and unto the day of your redemption, and nothing can sink your ship. Nothing can sink your life.
Thank you, Lord.
Oh, this atonement now, it's being fused together. When you fuse something together, it's like it's saturated or it's pulled into one. You can't recognize one from the other. You can't tell the difference. It's fused together in such a way that the metals become the same. You and Christ ought to be so fused together. Come on now, so fused together that you have that brotherly kindness we've been preaching about. That you have the natures of Christ, that you have his fruit of his life living inside of you, and they can't tell the difference between whether it's you or it's God. You know, Brother Branham oftentimes was accused or spoken of to be like God or to be God. In fact, even today, there's some people falsely worship Brother Branham as Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Brother Branham had a vision of a great snake, and it was a deity spirit that came amongst the people, and he tried to get rid of it. He even went off the field for some time because they began to worship him. Brother Branham was no more than just like you and I. He had a gifting. God had given him a gift, and a prophet is born a prophet, and he couldn't make a difference. That's what he was. He was a seer. He was speaking. He was there to open the word of God to the people. That was his job.
Yeah.
And he had to fulfill his job. But where it came to such a place that we're speaking of now to become at one moment where the gopher wood is saturated with the pitch, that you can't tell the difference between one or the other, that was the first wave sheaf in front of our lives. That was somebody that was so sold out to God that you couldn't tell when it was Brother Branham speaking or it was God speaking. Sometimes in the Bible it says it was Jesus speaking, and sometimes it was God speaking. And I want to be bold tonight.
Yeah.
And I want to say it like this, Brother Sam. Sometimes it's Brother Sam speaking.
Yeah.
And sometimes it's God speaking.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's Sister Rachel speaking, and sometimes it's God.
Yeah.
Sometimes, because God is so fused inside of our beings. In Romans chapter 8, verse 9. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so, be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. So you are either filled with God's life, saturated to the core with God's life and are his, or you are an empty vessel wandering this world in a beastly nature, and you are none of his. Verse 10, and if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. It's not your righteousness, his righteousness coming through. In Philippians chapter 2, verse 13, for it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. It's God walking to the shopping mart with you.
Right.
Sister Rhonda, it's God that's with you as you're caring and making those lunches for them children that you look after. It's God that goes together on your plumbing jobs, Brother Elias. It's God that is working in you. You are a living testament before the world today. We need to be this, friends. If there's going to be a rapture and we're going to be caught up and we're going to be in the air, this word has to soak in. And it literally needs to be that we are working as Christ would work, doing the work because of his good pleasure and his will. John chapter 4, are you doing okay tonight? John chapter 14, verse 12. Verily, verily, I say unto you. Now, Jesus is speaking to us. Pay attention. He says, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. And greater. Now, this word here I put in here, these are my words, more, but I got that from the message of the hour. Brother Branham tells us there, just notice that, it's not greater in the sense of more miracles or greater miracles. It's not the fact that, you know, it's going to be more splashy and as it goes more. No, it's more. God will be working in his people now because we carry his nature. It's going to be in a greater scale. More works than these shall ye do because I go to my Father. In 1959 now, and what was the Holy Ghost given for? All that God was, he poured into Christ. Amen. Listen, this is the Godhead being preached to you now.
Amen.
All that he was, he poured into Christ. God above us has now become God with us. Because he emptied himself and poured it into Christ. And Christ was the fullness of the Godhead bodily. All that Jehovah was, he poured into Christ. And all that Christ was, he poured into the church. Who is the church? We have made up, and the bride is made up of the church. His life is poured into you. Not just one individual. It's not just Jesus walking on the earth as the fullness of Godhead, doing miracles and teaching and preaching and doing things of the Father. No, now it's he's poured it into you. It's in not in just one individual, but it's in an entirety of a body. Praise his name. Oh, he didn't just pour his life into Brother John. He didn't just pour his life into Brother Steve. He didn't just pour his life into Brother Ed Biscoll. He poured his life into all of his people. If you have a need amongst you, you can lay your hands upon the sick and they shall recover. If you have a one that's strayed away from God, you can claim their lives. They're under the token that their lives might be saved. Hallelujah. God can work through every man and every woman. Don't exclude the women here tonight. No, sir, God. Listen, we don't have women preachers and we don't have women salutators and we don't have women people doing things in the church, but women are filled with the Holy Ghost and they can pray and they can worship and they can prophesy and they can speak in other tongues and they can be in the presence of God just like the men can. God can work through every man and every woman that will, here's the key, open their heart. Just open your heart. Close your life to the things of the world. Close the doors of your life to all that's outside. Now, Satan is a tempter. And he's using the eye gate. And Brother Brandon would say in the God's chosen place of worship, he said, there's only one gate, and that's in Christ Jesus. Close all the other gates, he would say. Close them. Don't allow those gates, those eye gates and those feeling, close them up, all your natural senses, and look to the sixth sense, which is from Christ Jesus, and that is faith. Now just open your heart.
Yes.
You know, you don't have to know a lot of things. Many people, well, if I could just get all the revelations and everything that Brother Branham said just organized in my mind, I got it. If I could just read the seals book and have all the horse riders and all what God has, I just get it lined up, I got it. If I can just lay out and speak with the brothers and the sisters what God has done through the church ages, and somebody might think I got an understanding, maybe that I've got it. It's not about our theology. To know him. They accused Brother Branham of not knowing very much, just like they accused many of us. You don't know very much. But he said, you know, well, I maybe don't know much, but I know the author. To know him. It's not theology. It's not education. It's opening your heart to Him. The only one you have to know, the only one you have to come to is our Lord Jesus Christ. Well, Brother Steve, if I could just know some of the major preachers of this message. No. Who are we going to look for when we get over? Listen, friends, Brother Branham spoke the word of God to us. He opened all the mysteries of God to him. But when I get to heaven, I don't want to offend anybody. Now, don't be offended. But when I get to heaven, Brother Branham is not going to be the first person I look for. When I get to heaven, as much as I love my wife today and she has a birthday tomorrow, I'm not going to be looking just for her.
Right. Yeah, that's it. Yeah.
I want to see Jesus. Because He's the one who forgave my sins. When I was in anxiety and I was in sin and nobody wanted me, I was your typical church kid that sat on the pew and nobody had a clue what was going on in my mind or in my heart, but I was sweating it and I was worried and I was anxious and I had all this stuff going on the inside. And I would look on Saturday morning to see if mom and dad were still in bed because I thought maybe the rapture would come. And Jesus swooped down and He took all my past. He took all my baggage, all my garbage, all the stuff that I had percolating in the back of my mind, and my spirit was full and it was hurt. Yeah. Oh, yes, we have hurt spirits. Yeah. We grow up in church and people can be hard to us. Now, listen, people can be hard. Yeah. Let's not be that kind of people. Let's be loving people. We see somebody come and they're not like us. That's okay. Even if they're not living like us, that's okay. God will bring them to a stature of a fullness. God will bring them from a miry clay, a seed that will grow out of the muck like a lily, and then bring forth an odor, a fragrance before God. Let's not have you be the one that squash it and cause it to have troubles and trials, trying and struggling, trying to come to the holy place of God. No, be the one to nurture.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, God. You see that one, that older one. I know they've been around for 30 years. And they should just really know You, Lord. But it seems like they're just falling back. Oh, God, how can we get into Your presence and intercede? How can we intercede for that one, Lord? It's not just the young people that have troubles.
Right, for sure.
Come on, brother. Yep. I want you to know some elderly people have troubles.
Yes,
and we spend as much time in the ministry with the elderly people and the mid-life people as the young people.
Right.
Because we all need more of Jesus.
Yes.
Oh, we should know Him. We should know Him. I want you to notice the disciples walked with Jesus. They slept with Him, beside Him. They talked with Him. They ate, and they had camaraderie. And Jesus showed very much sincerity towards them and was teaching them. And yet Philip in John chapter 14 says, Lord, show us the Father, and it will suffice us. I mean, he's a really good message believer.
Right. Yeah.
We've come to church. Some of us never miss service. We should receive the gold star. And yet, many times, we go home and say, Lord, where are You?
Yeah.
Where are You, Lord? I went to church today. Did you know He comes to every place He's invited? In fact, Simon invited him to his house and didn't wash his feet, and he sat there lowly in a corner with dirty feet. But he came because he was called. The Lord Jesus comes to the service, and Jesus responds, How long have I been with you, Philip, and you don't know me? When you have seen me, you have seen the Father. Now, I want to encourage you now. This was God with us.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
But now we are living after the day of Pentecost, and it's God in us. So surely when we come together on an appointed time or in our homes as fellowship, there's Jesus amongst us.
Praise God.
Where is Jesus? He's in the chosen place of worship, and he's influencing from human lives. His name is written upon your vessel because you're clean, you're holy, you've been justified, sanctified, and you're cleansed, and he filled your life. Yes. I look around and say, have we been so long together and we can't see Christ in one another? Friends, he's in us. Yes. He's working with us. He's pointing us into a direction, and that's towards glory. So often, in our families, in our church, in our environment, often we have Jesus stand right in front of us, the greatest gift, and we miss it. What I'm trying to say to you is we got to start appreciating one another. You know, we did such a good job, and all of you worked hard. Musicians and testifiers and people who built and prayer warriors behind the scene and those that traveled back and forth and brought food. Everybody worked so hard. Yes. And so on Sunday, Sister Sharina and the group will work hard again on the mission field out there in the highways and the byways. But tell me, what good is it? What good is it to go out there with all the work we have done, yes, just to be mean to one another here in the church? To take for granted one another and confuse up one another and not like one another's personalities and think one another's odd. What good is it? We got to recognize who's sitting in front of us. I'd like to read from you now, and we just have a few more minutes, but I'd like just to continue in Colossians chapter 1, verse 27. Verse 27 says like this, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of his mystery amongst the Gentiles. This is the mystery. Don't miss it. This is the mystery among the Gentiles. Yes. What is it? It's Christ in you. But I want to know a mystery, Brother Steve. I want to know, understand all the mysteries. What is it? It's Christ. On the day of Pentecost, mighty rushing winds, tongues of fire, things begin to happen. People spoke with new tongues, and the Bible says they were filled with the Holy Ghost. That was the purpose. It was Christ that came inside the people so they could be fused together with God and they could live Christ in you. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16, know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? This is a question. It's being asked. Don't you know you're the temple? It's Christ in you. God was in a mighty tent tabernacle behind a veil. And Solomon built a beautiful temple like none others that ever was built. And behind that veil is where the unction and the Shekinah of glory of God came down in the temple. But now God changed not who he was, but how his mask was going to operate, and it would become in you. And we doubt him. How could he be in me? But that's the mystery. That's the mystery. That he's made you perfect. That he could say that you are his temple. You're his chosen place. He put his name upon your heart, upon your life. Yes. It would be his Spirit that would dwell in you.
Yes, that's right.
Now, just for sake of interest, turning a corner slightly, I want you to see in Isaiah chapter 6, verse 1. Brother Merrill makes a reference of this if you read in the influence book that we would study in the month. Here in this second part, he says, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne. Can you, with your imagination, imagine this very good thing? I saw the Lord sitting upon his throne.
He was high and lifted up above all, high and lifted up. And his train filled the temple. It took my attention here for just a moment, thinking about his train. It filled the temple. And I looked up what the prophet of God would say, and he spoke of it three times. And one of the three times he said it was the angels that were following. It was the train that filled the temple. But I want you to notice it was the train. It means, it looks, and it focuses on the entire economy of God. I want you to see that his train speaks of authority. And it speaks of might and his glory that filled the temple. Now, I have a point here to make that you have in your own life, you are a wooden box. And that box, Brother Brandon would talk about it being humanity. And that box is filled with the Word of God. And overlaid this wooden box of your humanity with the Word on the inside is gold, which means deity. It's God overlaying your life. So here we have in our vision now from Isaiah, sees the Lord sitting upon the throne, high and lifted up, and his train fills the temple, and we recognize his economy and all his glory and all his might and all his authority. We find out in history, and you can look to find in history these things, that kings, they wore a robe. And that robe they wore, it had a long train behind it. Right. Now, that long train had carried great importance, I want to tell you, because that train, it showed their wealth, their economy, their culture. It showed forth their authority and their power and all their subjects that were under them. You see, each time a king would go into battle, and he would win a war over another king. What they would do is they would go and they would take that king that they had fought over and won. They would take his robe and they would cut the hem and the portion of his garment off. And that portion of the garment contained all of what that man had conquered. And they would take that robe and they would sew it on to the winning king's robe. Oh my. And each battle that they fought, the robe just got longer and longer and longer. Now, I want to show this extra to you for just a moment because I want to show you that David, remember David? Saul was sleeping in the cave. And he went down and he cut off a portion of Saul's garment. He was not to do it because David was not his foe. He disgraced God because David was not his enemy. He was not to take that and sew it onto his garment. It was not fulfillment of what God had promised. So we can't go around and try to do our own things. No, we have to wait for God because God is our captain. God is our leader. God is the one that conquers all things. So as we see in our little thoughts here just a moment, the king, he divides and he conquers and his train gets longer. His majestic worth gets longer. His subjects get more and full. Now as humans, we are temples. Do we read that in the scripture?
Yes.
As humans, we are temples. And this is a wonderful example how God has won over the enemy in all of our lives. Victories that have been won.
Yes.
And as God begins to win victories in your life, his glory fills your temple. His train becomes longer of the victories he's won in your life. You can look back and see what God has done. It's God proving his word in the midst of a dark generation. When you walk, there's light. When you walk, there's a testimony of the majestic glory of God. When you walk your life, I want you to know your life with God filling your space. Your life causes all of hell to tremble.
Amen.
When the weakest saint goes to his knees in prayer, Brother Branham says what? Yeah. All hell begins to shake.
Yeah.
It's because of what God has done in your life. Yeah. Now over the church and for the church, we see that greater than Solomon is here. Now, I point out Solomon for just a moment, because in Solomon's temple, if you'll just notice, Solomon built a grand and great. Now, Solomon's throne was high and lifted up. And if you'll notice, there was six steps that went up to Solomon's throne. But there was one on top, which was a step, but it was called his footstool. And that footstool was overlaid with gold. And it was the perfect size for the Ark of the Covenant, if it were to sit, that it could sit upon that gold space. I want to say, just as a suggestion to you to take home, maybe to think about it, that God has worked over six church ages and wrote up to seven steps up to Solomon's temple. But greater than Solomon is here. Yeah. God working in the midst of the golden candlesticks. God being lifted high. God coming up through the ages. Each age part of the bride. Each one receiving the message for their time. Each one working in the moving of the Holy Spirit for their hour. But not as a time as a such as this. Why? Because the full opening of the word, the full third pole, is amongst the God's people. And the people are God, are overlaid with his deity of gold. All the mysteries that God has been fulfilled. And God is now working perfectly inside of a bride.
Amen.
I say greater than Solomon is here.
Amen.
In 1951, as we close now. 1951, the resurrection of Lazarus. Brother Branham says, God dwells in man. And man becomes a son of God, not him in himself. But the Holy Spirit that's in him is God. The Creator lives in the creation. How does that happen, Brother Steve? I don't know, but it happens. When we get yonder on the other side, he'll have eternity to explain to us how just he did it. But I believe him anyway. Yes. And when I look amongst you, that's what I ought to see is Christ in you.
Oh, amen. Yes.
Oh, and resurrection of Lazarus in 51 again. And if we become in spirit sons of God, deity dwells in the man. Hallelujah. He gets excited.
Amen.
Then you talk about blind eyes being open. They said nothing's impossible to God. God said nothing's impossible with you. If you'll believe, God, not with God, but with you. Did you hear that, friends?
Yes.
Nothing's impossible for you. If God is living on the inside, that's why nothing can stand in your way. I'm encouraging you tonight to recognize that what's in you is the word manifest. We want to preach the seventh seal. The seventh seal is the message of the hour. Listen, the time, the hour, no man knows when Christ comes.
Yeah.
That's the part that's silent. We don't know. But the word that's open to us is the seventh seal. It's open before the people. God has opened it through the ministry of William Branham. He's given us the eyes to see, so nothing's impossible. If you can receive your adoption and know who you are,
Yes. That's it.
Nothing's impossible. If you believe, not with God, but you, deity in man, the very God that stood back there on that mythical platform of eternities and rolled the worlds off his hands and created these things, gave you the privilege to be his sons, and you're part of him.
Yes.
Oh, we should be shouting, praising God just a moment. And God dwells in mankind, and man himself is deity. It's not your human flesh. Quit thinking that you're some sort of... No, it's not. Your human flesh without God is stinking.
Yes, that's right.
Remember moments before I said you were a beast without God.
Yeah.
But if God is living on the inside of you, praise his holy name. then it's deity. Then God, nothing's impossible. Why? Because it's the same spirit that lived in Christ Jesus. And if it lives in you, what? It will quicken, make alive. I know some of you are tired this Wednesday, but praise God you're alive. I see your soul is moving with joy. Yes. You're alive. Why? Because Christ is inside of you. One last quote. Can you manage one last quote? Oh, Brother Steve, I'm so full. You said a lot of things that make me. Well, just one more. I can take one bite. You know, I went with Sister Hannah for a nice dinner the other day. Can I say this? Well, this is going to make me sound like really a pig, but it's okay. I'm a carnivore. So, you know, somebody went to this really nice restaurant. Sister Hannah and I were treating ourselves. It was kind of a special day. I know, praise God, it was nice. And we went together, and you know what, Brother John, they had? All you can eat prime rib. Oh, nice. My, thank you, Jesus. I could go for that just now. And so I only ate one other time more meat than I ate that day. You know, Brother Jim, we were out. Remember, we were you with Brother Matt. And we went to a nice restaurant, and Brother Matt and Brother Jim, they treated us to this steak. I filled the plate. Wow. Why, the angels cried holy. I mean, it was great. It was huge. Remember, Brother John? It was huge. Oh, that was the best steak I had. But anyways, we did this thing. I'm regressing. I know. We're closing. So Hannah and I went on the steak, and I enjoyed every bite of 40 ounces of meat.
Wow.
I walked out of there so full, just like some of you feel right now. I walked out of there feel so full, but I was so happy inside. I got my money's worth, and I had liberty, and I had joy because I got to go to this place, and we had a wonderful time. I think some of us ought to have that joy today in the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Brother John preaches on Sunday, and then Brother Sam comes behind and testifies, and hey, praise God. You know, it took me 2 or 3 days to get over that 40 ounces of meat. I wonder if what we're preaching tonight will cause you to be filled with his presence and joy of his spirit, that all Thursday, Friday, Saturday, you'll be stimulated by the Holy Spirit, that meat word in your life, and by Sunday morning you'll say, I'm ready to go to the buffet again. We're believing God. I'm closing now.
Praise God.
You are an offspring, Brother Branham says, a creator of God. When you can believe the impossible things because you are made up of a miracle-working God, you become part of him.
Praise God.
Oh, friends, I want you to know the pattern of Pentecost hasn't changed. There are still people walking upon this earth that are filled with the Holy Ghost from the top of their heads to the bottom of their feet. Oh, the power of God still oozing forth from their lives. It has not ceased. It's the church's inalienable right to be this living, breathing son and daughter of God with God's life living on the inside of you. I want to challenge you tonight, if you don't have God living in your wooden box, and if it's not overlaid with gold, and you're not living to a place where God's agape love can settle upon your life, I'd offer you to today. We don't have to have a big altar call. They're nice. It's joyful. We don't have to have a prayer line. Those are wonderful, and they really help people. But right there in your seat today, you could say, Lord, I don't have this fellowship as I should with you. I don't have you in my wooden box. See, I want to tell you, it's not a public show. Lots of times we want to publish. Brother Branham said, it's not a public show. The third pull, coming into humanity, into the little box, into the little wooden room, is not a public show. It is there. You and Christ, a union, an invisible union that takes place where the third pole comes alive within your being. What is that? It's that you know who you are.
Yeah.
That you're influenced. You know who you're influenced. It's not the world. It's the word who is influencing. You know who's speaking to you from the inside.
Yes, amen.
You're not quarreling with your thoughts thinking, is this the devil? Is this God? Is this? No, you know it's from God because it matches the word of God. In your life, personally, and in the church, over 7 church ages, our husband, the Lord Jesus Christ, his train has failed. the temple. His train has filled your life. His train has filled the church ages. He's there winning our battles. But you got to recognize who he is, and you got to open your heart, and you got to let him in. Into the chamber. Be free, Holy Spirit, and speak to my heart, Lord. When nothing's around, no public show, nothing, nobody, speak to me, Lord, that I can be heirs and joint heirs with Christ Jesus. Father, we bow our heads tonight. We bow our heads, Lord, and in sincerity of heart, Lord, we made an offer to the people. And I know we say, well, Brother Steve, we're all message believers, yes. We're all believers, yes. But there might be someone that is weak. Someone feels lowly. Maybe somebody has lost their coin. Jesus told a parable of a lost coin. This virtuous woman, she had her coin, but she lost it someplace when her husband was away on business. Now, she wasn't slothful and sit back and say, oh, well, I lost the virtue, I lost the coin. No, she knew that if her husband came home and that coin wasn't upon her forehead, as the women did at that time, showing their virtues. Jesus said that her wife would have, her husband would have the right to divorce her, put her away. Father, in our hearts, we would find that sincerity of the parable Jesus told. We are the Lamb's wife. Though that we may not have great sinful things or not even done anything that would be called of sin. But Father, maybe something has been lost along the way in our life, our sincerity, our desire, our hope, our zeal. Something has been lost, Lord, within our lives. Lord, may we not be slothful, but may going forward, Lord, we begin to sweep the house and look and have great desire to find it, Lord. And when we find it, may there be a rejoicing in our hearts. Like Jesus said, that woman, she called her neighbors. They were so happy. I found it. I found it. Praise you, Jesus. My experience with you, Lord, my zeal, my desire for you, Lord, has kind of waned away. I lost it somewhere. Life got busy. Laodicea is a real thing, and it attacks real believers. Oh, God, I pray, Father, that we would rebuke the enemy of Laodicea, lukewarmness that causes the people to slough and slouch. May we, Father, find that coin and rejoice. And, Lord, come and worship you and praise you. Worship you in this holy place. Worship you in our being, Lord. Worship you wherever we go. Oh, God, may we become under the influence of your Holy Spirit. So I pray for those tonight, Lord. Not asking to lift a hand, not just private moment, real private moment between the people and their God. It's not my business, not any other's business. Just a moment between you and God. Father, restore. Restore, Lord, that was lost. Greater zeal that they might know that nothing's impossible. Nothing's impossible with you, Lord.